you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, and Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Matthew 19:14. Friend, how you doing today? Happy Thursday. This, of course, July the 24th, 2014. My name is Joey Kroll. It is so good to be spending some time with you today. And I'll tell you what, in the Kroll household, we are super duper busy. Well, you're probably thinking, okay, why is he all excited? Well, let me just tell you. This week, we're doing VBS at our church. So we're all messed up on sugar and candy this week, so I've been doing cartwheels in my sleep. I mean, I can't even do a cartwheel just alone, but no, I'm kidding. But no, we've just been having so much fun for VBS. If you've ever been part of a vacation Bible school at your church, you know it's high energy, lots of excitement, seeing God move in so many different ways, but it is quite exciting and quite exhausting too, believe it or not. So, oh yes, I know there are a lot of churches here in the area hosting Vacation Bible School, and you can take a look at the entire list, by the way, happening here in the next few weeks for Vacation Bible School. Just visit our website, greatnewsradio.org, and click on events. And actually, my wife and I, our job is to, we do a skit before VBS actually begins, and the crafts and the teaching and all that. We do a skit, and I play the goofy guy. And a lot of people from church are saying, you know, he does that so naturally, it doesn't even have to hack. So we've been having a blast. So please be praying for us, because, you know, our goal, yes, we're having fun, we're being goofy, but we want Jesus to be resonating in the hearts of these children. We want Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of their life. Amen. So be praying for our church, but other churches as well, hosting these wonderful VBS events. Again, you can take a look at the entire list of upcoming events, including VBS, at our website, greatnewsradio.org, and click on events. Hey, speaking of events, there's a handful of days left for the special early bird pricing for the Great News Radio trip to Israel. Yeah, we're going to be doing that Israel trip in November 6th through the 15th. Now, early bird pricing ends the end of this month, July 31st, next Thursday, a week from today. Early bird pricing going to be done a week from today. So prayerfully consider joining us for this trip. It will be a trip that you will remember for the rest of your life. Again, Great News Radio Israel trip coming up this fall, November 6th through the 15th, special 10 days in Israel. And it's specifically paced to where you can kind of take in, reflect, and learn, and allow time for revelation right there in the land of Israel. If you want to get more information on the Great News Radio trip to Israel, just give us a call, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777, or you can visit our website again, that is greatnewsradio.org, and click on Israel trip. You'll see it right there on the right-hand side on the top banner. Well, coming up, we're going to be talking about how our God is just. When we make decisions or when we judge, we have limited information. But when our God judges, he has all the information. It's unlimited. So we're going to be talking about how our God is just. Coming up right after this, right here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio.
You came from heaven.
You know, we love the idea of justice triumphing over injustice. Have you ever read the book or seen the movie The Count of Monte Cristo? Actually, it's about Edmond Dantes. He was a talented and handsome young man of faith who was betrayed by three jealous and greedy men. And Edmond was publicly declared dead, even as his betrayers conspired to have him locked away in a terrible dungeon. And worst of all, one of the betrayers later married Edmund's fiancée as a way of comforting her after Edmund's loss. Wow. I mean, where was the justice? I mean, hopeless, bitter, forgotten. Edmund nearly lost his faith. Punished for a crime he didn't commit, God seemed nowhere to be found. But in the end, however, Edmund escaped, and after many years, both he and the evil-doing trio received their just rewards. You know, friend, today in our conversation, we'll explore why we can have the confidence that God's justice will always win out in the end. See, when we're wronged by others, our typical response is to call for justice, right? I mean, however, when we are the ones that have committed the wrong, we cry out for mercy. We demand fairness. But we define fairness based on what we want. See, God is fair in the sense that his justice holds everyone equally accountable for their actions. God is completely just, but he is also merciful, showing mercy to those who choose to turn to him. So today, friend, we're going to talk about how God is always just. We're going to take a look at two passages here in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18, 21 to 24. And Ezekiel 18, verses 30 to 32. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 21 says, "But if a wicked man turns away from all the sins they have committed and keeps all my decrees and does what is just and right, that person will surely live. They will not die. None of the offenses they have committed will be remembered against them." Boy, talk about the grace and mercy of God. "Because of the righteous things they have done, they will live. Do I take pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the sovereign Lord? Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? But if a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin and does the same detestable things the wicked person has done, will they live? None of the righteous things that person has done will be remembered. Because of the unfaithfulness they are guilty of, and because of the sins they have committed, they will die." Ezekiel 18, let's look at verses 30 to 32. "Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent. Turn away from all of your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live." You know, have you ever known someone who has lived a life of excess, yet seemed to suffer no ill effects, right? Or do you know somebody who doesn't even call Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior? Yeah, but it seems like God is blessing them, and there you are. God, what about me? Here I am doing all of this stuff for you. But that person drives a better car. That person has a larger family. That person has a better home, has a better job. See, that was the scenario that troubled the people of Judah. They saw Jerusalem lying in ruins from the Babylonian invasion. Those who survived the onslaught were forcibly taken to Babylon, and the Jews cried out to God for answers. And in response, God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel 18, which we just read, God candidly addressed the charge that his actions against his people were unfair. And to fully appreciate the passage, let's focus on two key words, the word justice. Justice, the biblical concept of divine justice, is almost perfectly captured in the statue of Lady Justice at the U.S. Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C. Have you ever seen this? Blindfolded, she holds a double-edged sword in her right hand and a set of scales in her left. Now, the blindfold signifies her impartiality. The sword illustrates the discerning character of truth, and the scales represent the exacting nature of justice. See, Scripture calls God the righteous judge. As such, complaints about his fairness are unfounded. God is just. So there's the word justice and there's the word repentance. Repentance involves turning away from sin and committing to love and obey God. Here's the great news. Any person who approaches God in this way, praise the Lord, will receive pardon. God will always act graciously and merciful toward the one who turns to him with a repentant heart. Just look at the thief on the cross. In his final moments, he called out to Jesus. Repentance. You know, I wonder, too, why does it sometimes bother us when someone gets let off the hook for something they had done? Why do you think that is? Maybe because we feel maybe they don't deserve it, or maybe what we feel what they have done deserves greater punishment, maybe. I don't know, but God will accept those who repent and turn to him. So here in Ezekiel 18, after discussing the unrighteous who repent, God addressed the apparently righteous person who rebels. See, in this verse, God called out seemingly righteous individuals who have become, spiritually distracted is a nice way of putting it, and pursue the same life as the non-believers were chasing. See, this scenario also points to the fairness and justice of God, even though it went against the common thinking of the Jews. See, the Jews were relying on their privileged heritage and past obedience to release them from divine punishment. They misunderstood what it meant to be God's chosen people and expected their special standing to free them from any consequences. See, Christians today, friend, I'm talking about you and me. Christians possess eternal security in Christ. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't give us a free pass to sin. Maybe I should say that again because I think it's kind of important. Just one more time. Christians possess eternal security in Christ. Hallelujah. I love it. But that doesn't give us a free pass to sin. Believers and unbelievers alike will be held accountable for their actions. And the only difference is that the believer's eternal home with Christ in heaven is never in jeopardy. Once obtained, salvation is secure. But Christians certainly can and do suffer the same earthly consequences for their sins as those who don't know God. Did you know God is just in how he responds to the seemingly righteous who rebel? God never produces a false verdict. Did you know that? He always knows all the facts and he renders the right judgment. See, we think we know all the facts when we judge someone or call them out, but he knows all the facts and he renders the right judgment. As such, God remains righteous and completely justified in whatever punishment and consequences he deals to that person he finds guilty. We can be assured that the approach God takes is always perfectly appropriate. Moreover, he always puts the offending person or party in the best possible situation for repentance and restoration. Praise the Lord. Two thoughts here. God always gets justice right. While earthly courts may attempt to be fair and unbiased, God's court, God's court always renders exacting, authoritative, and sound justice. And God always wants our best. His judgment is undergirded by a heart of compassion. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God is not only our judge, friend, but he is also our defender and mediator. How about that? See, God is not only our judge, friend, but he is also our defender and our mediator. You tell me of a judge who's willing to defend you and be your mediator, your advocate. Only God can do that. See, all God requires, friend, is that we repent and turn from all transgressions. See, when we confess our sin, God completely forgives us. See, when we confess, when we bring that to him, he forgives us. That's the amazing news for two reasons. First, when God forgives, he forgets. See, Jeremiah gave this declaration from God, "For I will give their wickedness and remember their sins no more." Jeremiah 31:34. I love that passage. And secondly, God relieves us from all guilt. See, friend, there is nothing more painful than a guilty conscience. Guilt can affect us spiritually, emotionally, I say also physically and also relationally. Thankfully, a person who repents is not only set free from his or her sin, but also from the guilt associated with that sin. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 32:5. Listen to this. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Psalm 32:5. I love that. See, friend, if you are forgiven, you can be released from that guilt and the guilt of others held over you. See, forgiveness doesn't remove the effects of our sin on either ourselves or victims of our behavior. What's done cannot be undone. Therefore, a forgiven person takes full responsibility for the past, acknowledges his or her actions and any pain that was caused, and seeks to correct any damage caused by his or her actions as necessary. But that's where it stops. There is no obligation to bear false guilt. I'm speaking to somebody today. See, there is no obligation, friend. If God has forgiven you, if you repented of that, you have no obligation to bear false guilt for already forgiven sins that Christ has paid for on the cross in full. Let it go. Let it go. There is no obligation to bear false guilt, friend, for already forgiven sins that you repented of. God is just. He dealt with your sin through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And now that your sin has been dealt with, it's over. Justice is done. Furthermore, the completed justice of God means that you won't have to carry the burden of your sin any longer. You're free to live in Christ. You may be experiencing unfair circumstances in your life, but rest in the fact, friend. Rest in the fact that God is always just, and He always delivers, whether in this life or the next. God's righteousness will triumph.
And I know you are.
Oh, yes, that's right, friend. Thank you so much for listening to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends today. And when you have a chance, be praying for Israel today. They certainly need our prayers. Until next time, friend, remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.